or after the meeting, so we may contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Kyle B. from San Diego.
Evening, my name's Kyle. I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad there's not like a huge turnout tonight. It's like God working in my life, man. I think if there was a like standing room only, I'd probably have a panic attack. Be stuck listening to Larry or something. Sobriety date of September 21st of 2013. I have a home group, which is Cedar Street Men's, tomorrow morning. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I stay accountable to a good amount of men that encircled me as I was trying to figure this deal out. Just to be up at this podium, man, this meeting was like instrumental in my own sobriety in my first few weeks. Come a long way since that time. It might have been my first week of sobriety. My second, I was up at this podium leading the meeting, and like that's where it all changed. You know, it started to take off to heights that I've never imagined, from a place that I never imagined I would be in either. I remember I was up at the San Diego pig farm for alcoholic men, and the instructor, facilitator, whatever you want to call them, would bring up CDs from this meeting. I used to get like really stoked and really happy to like do something out of the norm. He would bring up the speakers from the previous Saturday. And for a long time, I thought if I heard like a real good, solid message, like I'd get like a good month out of it, and get like a good 45 days of sobriety. And I wish I could tell you like I stayed sober after that time. It's a nice long story about what happened up at the San Diego Freedom Ranch. And it turns out like that's not how it works. Voluntary commitments to asylums does not keep me sober. I thought I'd try it and see if it would work out, which it didn't, obviously. And shortly after that, I went on a nice, quick little 3-week run where I did a lot of things that I would never expect to happen in my life. I never thought I'd stoop so low, if you want to call it that. But I really had my eyes opened to what it means to be an alcoholic, to be powerless over alcohol. And wound up in my friend's car in El Cajon, like, once again. It's a different mirror. It's like his side mirror, but I think you got the picture. I wound up in front of the mirror asking how it all happened again. You know what I mean? And I had been in that situation before and, like, super confused about how I, like, make these what I thought were decisions to like, drink and use. Like, that's part of my story, too. And, like, I thought I was just like a bad person who always chose these things over everybody in my life or everything in my life. And it turns out that being an alcoholic, I've lost a choice. And it, like, relieved a lot of pain. Like, I really used to look down on myself and, like, I'm not really as bad as I thought. It's like I'm not really making that decision. It's coming from a place of pain where I don't have a defense. It took me a really long time to figure that out, and it took me to get into a position where, like, I didn't have any other choice. For a really long time, I didn't realize this till after I, like, looked at myself and I finally in that mirror and I was, like, honest with myself, that all those other times before, as much as I wanted to stay sober and how ready I was to do, like, 50% of what you guys were telling me, like, there was still that, like, lurking notion, or, like, that little tiny little, I wanted to say something inappropriate, but I won't. Like, that just that little piece of, I don't even know what to call it. Thank you. There was just that little notion that I could drink and use like a gentleman. And I finally got to a point where I had to let it go. Like, it was always in the back of my mind for so long. And it turns out, like, that's the obsession, the deadly obsession. And since I've taken the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, it has been removed. And, like, I don't think about alcohol the way I used to. I don't think about changing the way I feel as I once did. You know, like, ready to, like, face life on life's terms and people. And really be honest with my, especially myself, but also like the people around me that keep me accountable to like me identifying these character defects and especially all these fears that are running through me even right now that like I overcome and be able to like carry this message of Alcoholics Anonymous and like put myself aside and all those fears and be able to like try to help somebody. And that's an entire psychic change for me in my life, man. I never thought about anybody else like unless you had what I wanted. And I was ready to take it. I was prepared to like do whatever it took to like get what I needed on a daily basis, like all day, every day. Because like for me, I get to a point where like I need to stay in that permanent inebriation because I got like just like this empty hole in me. I got to change how I feel at like all times, and then it becomes physically dependent, and I can't stop whatsoever. And, like that turns into the allergy, and then like there's a little bit more too. There's like this spiritual malady, this threefold disease I suffer from, like all those delusions in my mind and all those empty, like that empty feeling in my, like this God-shaped hole inside of me that I'm either going to drink a spirit or I'm going to find a spirit. And thanks to that pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, I finally was willing to do it and do the deal. I put my hand out, asked another man for help, and for his desire to stay sober, he was willing to help me. And I sat with that man and finally got out some of those things that like I thought like I would never ever tell anybody. Those things, like those ideas that I have about my parents thinking one way about me and like just all these negative thoughts and those are killing me. All those resentments, all those fears are killing me a little bit at a time. And like I finally got those out, and I was able to face those same people, and show them, not necessarily like making amends for all those behaviors, and continue to do the right thing. Like that's a big part of me making amends is to continue to do the deal and like make right all that years and years of I don't even know how to describe it. Sometimes, man, I just look at it. And from this place of self-pity, or I can look at it from a place of usefulness where I can use it for somebody else to identify with. And so that's what brings me here. It's what keeps me here. And as it's been described to me, I may or may not be able to find that in my mind, my consciousness. And it's a scary thought to think that I could be 100% willing to do this program, but I may not think of that one day. So I do everything I can to separate myself and stay close to God that I found here. You know, I didn't want it. You guys said I needed it. I didn't want it, but sure enough, I found it. Like, I know exactly what you guys are talking about when you're, like, a power greater than yourself. And it's definitely working in my life, for sure. I've got people come here to support me and, like, want to be around me. Like, I couldn't get a cigarette from my best friend before I came here, man. You know? And, like, there's people, like, willing to change their plans or like show their face for me, man, and that's got the big difference in my life. And I'm super grateful to be a part of this meeting, be part of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm grateful for those people that came to support me. And I love you guys. Thanks.